in the resistance, from the women's protests, massively larger than President Trump's inaugural crowd just the day after.
You have to look at the tweet.
To the protest just this week, from the March for Science on Earth Day on Saturday, to the one that's coming up next Saturday, April 29th, another People's Climate March. The March for Science took place on every continent in the world. The People's Climate March promises to be much larger. Does this give you hope?
Well, there's a lot of reasons for hope. First of all, there is enormous resistance, the kind of thing that's happened sometimes before. Like in the early 80s, when there was huge public opposition, enormous public opposition to the dangerous increase in nuclear weapons development. And it had an effect. Like I mentioned at the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists a couple of years ago, doomsday clock went to 3 minutes to midnight. That's the closest it had been since 1984, when there was a major war threat with the increase in nuclear weapons threats. And it was significantly attenuated by popular action. And then, of course, there was the activism of the 60s and the 70s. It didn't end in the 60s by any means. So some of the most effective popular movements with the biggest impact on the society are really developed in the 70s, like the women's movement, the environmental movements, and so on. The seeds were in the 60s, but they weren't there yet. They were just barely beginning. All of that has really civilized the society, had lots of positive effects, and it goes on right to the present. So the most significant fact about the last election was not Trump's victory, which was very serious for the country and the world, but the astonishing success of Bernie Sanders' campaign. It's worth remembering that broke with over 100 years of U.S. political history. U.S. elections are pretty much bought. You can predict with remarkable precision electoral outcomes by looking at simple measures like campaign funding. There's very serious work on this. You can almost predict the outcome of an electoral campaign, president, House, Senate, just by looking at campaign funding. And of course, that's a predictor of policy as well. And that's been well known, you know, from way back among people who run campaigns. And by now, the evidence is overwhelming. So what did Sanders do? Had no corporate support, no support from the wealthy, no support from the media, which mostly either dismissed or denigrated him. Unknown person, nobody had ever heard of him. He was proposing what amount to New Deal policies. By contemporary U.S. standards, that's what he called, with some justice, a political revolution. Actually, the policies he proposed, it wouldn't have surprised Dwight Eisenhower. He favored similar policies by and large. In fact, he even said that anyone who doesn't accept New Deal programs just doesn't belong in our political system. He was a strong supporter of unions and so on. We've come quite a ways since then. But Sanders was a voice going back to the period when there was very rapid growth, egalitarian growth, the serious beginnings of an attack on some of the deep crimes of the country that go way back, like the racist crimes and others. Then came the 60s, the big civilizing effect, their consequences, then a regression, the regression of the last 30, 40 years, the neoliberal programs and all their consequences. But Sanders broke with over a century of history. That's pretty serious, and it's having an effect. Fox News informed us, should thank them for that. They did a poll of popularity of political figures. How much do you like various political figures? One person was way in the lead, Bernie Sanders, far above anyone else, even higher among young people. Those are pretty serious achievements, and there's a lot to build on there. And in fact, out of the Sanders popular movement, there are developments growing, which I think are quite constructive and are coalescing and integrating with many other things that are happening. So there are plenty of grounds for hope, but we are in an extremely dangerous situation. Last January, a week or so into the Trump term, the minute hand was moved to 2.5 minutes to midnight. But since then, we have learned things which I suspect would lead the same group of analysts to push it even closer to midnight. What did we learn? Not that you read about it in the press, but what did you learn if you looked at what's happening? Well, there was an extremely important article that appeared in the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists, which is the main scientific journal that deals with nuclear and other strategic issues. What it discussed was the nuclear modernization programs that were initiated by Obama and are being carried forward more under Trump. And it pointed out, it's a technical article, but basically what it pointed out is that these modernization programs had already increased the destructive capacity of the U.S. nuclear weapon systems by maybe a factor of 3. Enough, they said, to completely wipe out the Russian deterrent. Okay, it's not that the Russians don't know this. Russia does not have our sophisticated early warning systems, satellite warning systems. They have much more primitive ones. They don't get much advance warning of an alleged attack. There have been many close calls in the past because of this. Well, now they're aware that the U.S. modernization programs are able to completely wipe out their deterrent because we've so expanded already our destructive capacity by a huge factor. And as they point out in the article, this means that the system of stability by which the world has been kind of hanging by a thread, a pretty slender thread, it's being seriously threatened. Means that in the event of some rising tension, and there's plenty of tensions at the Russian border, not at the Mexican border, at the Russian border, plenty of them and plenty of provocations, they might just out of desperation decide, well, we better launch a preemptive strike or we're gone. We don't have a deterrent. That's what's being developed. It's another great contribution of human intelligence to develop means to make our own destruction far more likely. That's what we've learned in the last couple of months. These should be screaming headlines all over the place. There should be headlines about the Republican Party trying to destroy the prospects for organized human life. Now, that's what journalism would be if it were concerned with bringing to people the things that are significant for people who live in a democratic society, who can make decisions about how to deal with the problems they face in their lives. Almost nothing about it. It's not a secret, you know, it's not classified. You can find out about it. It's a free country in that respect, an important respect. You should respect and honor that. But these are the things that are happening right now. And it means that the sledgehammers that we've constructed in our brilliance to threaten our survival are getting far more dangerous, while the political mechanisms that might lead to a sensible reaction are being destroyed. And we see the impact in the rise of anger, contempt for institutions, irrational reactions, the kinds of things, scapegoating, you know, things that are pretty dangerous. We've, again, constructed a remarkable perfect storm.